here, I would like you to take your Bibles and join me in Romans chapter 5. I'm sure I don't have to explain to you the immense pressure that is placed on people this time of year to find the perfect gift. You turn on the TV and every company has it. Isn't that interesting? They all have exactly what you need, whether it's the new iPhone or a new internet plan. Maybe it's a brand new car. By the way, those car commercials, they crack me up. I saw one yesterday. You know, this husband and wife, they're in the snow. It's like a perfect land, a perfect place. And they're all dressed so nicely. And the husband, he's like, oh, honey, I have something for you. He does that little whistle, which I can't do. The little, you know, whatever. And all of a sudden, oh, this bounding puppy rolls over clumsily through the snow. Oh, so cute. It's totally trained. I don't know. That's just that it can do that. Anyway, and it bumbles around, and she picks it up. She's like, oh, it's so cute. And she says, I have something for you, too. And she does the same whistle, and out comes this $80,000 truck bounding over the snow majestically. And it's like, oh, honey, this is exactly what we needed. And like the end of the commercial is he's hugging the truck, you know, similar to how she's hugging the dog. And I'm going, boy, if I did that to Kyla, right? She got me a dog, and all of a sudden I said, look at this. And $80,000 of commitment rolls over the bank. Two things would happen. My life would be over, and that vehicle would be returned. So. But, you know, that's the time of year. They're trying, obviously, to make you think, I could use a new one of those. And, you know, you're getting phone calls about trading in this. And, you know, you're looking for people. And it is a wonderful time of year. I love it, especially being right after Thanksgiving. Because, you know, you just got done giving thanks for people that you love and care about in your life. And so if you're a good gift giver, you're one that's practical. You don't want to just, like, gift card it, you know, or give them cash, although cash is king. But boy, if you get a good gift that they use for a long time and they need, that requires you to know them and to put a little bit of effort into it and to commit to that individual and try to find the right gift. I'm sure you remember as a kid wanting certain things. As kids for us, remote control cars, that was the best way to go. But having three brothers with limited radio frequencies, every time that we all got RC cars, one of us was being a spectator because the radio signals just didn't work correctly. I knew at our house, too, there was a guy about three houses down to the right who had some type of radio antenna sticking right out of the back of his yard. And that really messed up the RC dream. When I was younger, my uncle would always get us the same thing. And now I love it. But back then, I was like, again, undershirts, right? And I don't remember, Lifesaver mints. And, you know, you'd get it, you'd hold the gift, and it was very, you know, floppy, and you're like, oh, I wonder what it is. And then, oh, Hanes undershirts, great. And then, I don't think I bought undershirts for like 15 years now. Uncle Jeff, if you're listening, I know you're right there. That's what I need, my man, that's what I need. No, but there's things that we get, and we're like, oh, thanks. And there's things that we get, and we're like, oh, wow. But as a kid, you know about 3 weeks later, which is an eternity to a kid. That's almost like a full season. Those toys are probably not being played with as intensely as they were on the morning of Christmas. You know, and I told my nephews, I said, guys, you know, Jace is 13 and Micah is 10. So maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, I said, when y'all turn 10 years old, I'm going to get you a savings account. You know, we're going to put some money in there and you can start putting money away. And I said, and for Christmas, I'll just make a transfer right into your savings account. Well, every time December came around, we'd still get that Target ad with things circled. And I was like, oh, you know, but you want cash, right? Like, you want to have money when you're 18 years old and you can take care of that account. No, we want this. I'm like, yes, but with the cash that you get, you can buy that and a lot of it. No, but we want this. And that's just how kids are, you know? But as we're getting this time of year, we are thinking about other people. You're thinking about gifts that you've gotten. Some people are going to be proposed to this time of year. It's a wonderful time to do that. But we have this idea of giving in mind. This is why I love this time of year, because for at least a couple of months, people are already primed to start thinking about that word gift. Especially in the past couple of years, with everything going around the world right now, we are very blessed to just to be able to spend time with one another. And still, in many places around the world, that's not allowed. If you're watching headlines and you're paying attention to what's happening around the world, freedoms that everyone thought were basic are being taken away. I read a headline the other day about a lockdown in Germany that was following something similar to what's happening in Australia already. And I looked at my wife and I said, this is just going to progress. This is just going to progress further and further and further. And it's important that the time that we have now, while we have these freedoms, while we're able to do the things that we're able to do, that we take advantage of them. And we make sure that we surround ourselves with the opportunities and then take advantage of those opportunities. Make sure that we are clear and consistent about what really matters. What's the most important thing? We talked about that last week, chasing what really matters. Boy, we can chase things that don't matter. We can chase things that at the end of our lives will go to somebody else, right? Let's think about retirement for a moment. You get taxed on it now. You get taxed on it when you take it out. And when you die, they'll tax you. And when you die, guess what? It's miraculous. There's not a first bank of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Your money does not transfer over there. How many times have you seen a funeral procession and you see a U-Haul behind it? Maybe because the spouse is getting what they were claiming, but hey, you don't take anything with you. Job said it perfectly. I came into this world naked. I'll return into this world naked. That's how things are. But aren't we surrounded with stuff? And people that we love surrounded with stuff? See, the real truth is there's many people in our lives right now which have no security in where they're going to go when they die. There are people in my family. There are people on my wife's side of my family who are getting up today and it's just another day closer to Christmas. It's just another day off. It's just another opportunity to go get errands done or do something. And there's no eternal perspective. I don't know if you've ever seen those videos where they, through CGI, they zoom out of the earth and try to show you how massive the known universe is. It's amazing to recognize what we are. But you know, even the miraculous expanse of the universe doesn't matter if you have no assurance of where you're going to go when you die. And people are spending their lives with distractions. I got an email about 3 weeks ago where someone said, you know, I think it would be a good idea if we looked at that word gift. And I thought, that's a perfect idea. So I want to look in Romans chapter 5 today, and we're going to look at that word gift. It's going to take some setting up to get a proper understanding. I want to read to you just a couple of things. In Romans chapter 5, we are going to begin to see a comparison between the first Adam and the last Adam. I don't have to tell you, you are familiar with the creation account, and you are familiar with what happened in the garden. Adam and Eve, created with innocence, there was no sin, were deceived by the serpent. The serpent questioned what God had really said. He put a heavy spin on it as to say that God was trying to intentionally keep something good from them, and Eve bought into it. Adam bought into it, and here we are today. It's miraculous. You know that sin is just a natural part of who we are. It's like a dog being a dog. It's like a chicken being a chicken. Sinners are sinners. This is who we are. I hope it still discourages you when you see violence unprovoked in the world. When you see all of this crime and all of this heartache in the world, I hope there's a little part of you that's still sensitive to that. Sometimes we can almost get in the mindset of, well, these people deserve it. I hope we don't stay there for long. People need the Lord. Bob Brooks sings that song, and it's beautiful. When will we realize that people need the Lord? And we can introduce them to Him through the things that we say and the things that we do. What an awesome responsibility. The Bible describes us as ambassadors. Those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ, who have experienced reconciliation to God through Christ, are now ministers of reconciliation. That's a title that I take very seriously. If someone were to ask me in an interview setting, what would you say you do? Well, I'm an ambassador. They might sit up straight and button their coat and make sure that everything is, to what nation? Not necessarily to a nation, but to an individual of Jesus Christ. And, now they'd slouch, unbutton, and they'd scoff at you. Guys, that's what is told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're ministers of reconciliation. Boy, that takes whatever kind of earthly title you have here, and it's secondary, right? Maybe even third or fourth on the list. But we have a comparison here between Adam and what he brought in by one action. And then Jesus, what he brought in by one action. Look what it says here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. This is why when you and I are born into the world, we're born under the curse. We are born into it. There's not a moment in which we first have to make a sin for us to become sinners. We're born into it. And we can see here the comparison. One man, sin entered into the world. That's not just one person. That's everybody. We can look back on Adam and Eve and say, thanks, guys. Because of you, I have a doctor's appointment this week. Again. All the problems that we see in the world going on with our leaders, with our family members, these natural disasters, isn't it amazing? Have you ever seen a sinkhole swallow a house? It happens. Literally. You're sleeping at home, and the ground from underneath you gives way. Can you imagine? God did not design it that way. Storms that hit coastlines and take the lives of thousands of people. Earthquakes that open up and volcanoes that spill out hot lava. You ever seen a picture like that? You ever seen lava just slowly encroaching on a vehicle? And that vehicle can't move? Before you know it, that thing is gone. It's covered. It's gone. All of the natural disasters that we see and things that people label acts of God, but they don't even believe in God. It's all a result of sin. One person's choice. We're suffering because of it. And we're not blameless. We can't stand up there one day before God and say, well, this is Adam's fault. No, that's not going to work. Look at verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Now you should mark this here. Who is a figure of him that was to come. Just as Adam in his sin had brought in all this destruction, immediately, you remember what God said, the day that you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. And what did the devil say? You're not going to die. I believe the implication of the devil there was you're not going to die physically, and that's accurate. They would go on to live for many, many hundreds of years after that. But they did die spiritually. And such is the state of every single man, woman, and child who's born into this world. We are born spiritually separated from God. Now, verse 13 there says, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. So, of course, the strength of the law is sin. But even from the time of Adam to Moses, people were still held accountable. We can't say, oh, well, there was no sin to condemn us. This says right here, even in a time where the law was not yet in, people are found guilty. Now look at verse 15. This is where we're going to see the first instance of that word gift. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Boy, we could camp here and just unpack, and that's what we're going to do. Look at the first part. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Just as the transgression that came into the world was done by one individual, so also this justification, which is the entire theme up to this point in Romans, this justification, this declaration of being made righteous, was brought to mankind through one as a gift. I'm going to define the word gift for you here. A couple of times throughout this passage, you see the word gift. It's a different Greek word here and there, but the one that I liked is charisma. Okay? Now, if you're judging me on how I say that, just want to let you know, if you want to see my papers, I got a C in Greek. So this is actually quite good. Okay? And it means a divine gratuity. Here's the definition that you and I know more commonly. This is from Merriam-Webster. Something that is voluntarily transferred from one person to another without compensation. You ever met someone who gives a gift but has an intent for something else, right? I don't know how many of you guys have enjoyed white elephant gifting. This is probably one of my favorite things. You buy a gift, it's in a, you know, a nice box, trim box, because, you know, all the iPads, they come in that trim box, you know, like so nice, and you wrap it real tight, and all that's in it is like a two, you know, if the gift limit is $5, you've hid $5 in there, but you've put rocks, and you've put another box within a box, and you just, everyone's going around, they're like, ooh, I want that one. That's like the first one that gets picked, and people are opening it, and you've made it so hard to undo. And after all that work, you get $5. And wouldn't it be funny if it was $5 in Monopoly money? That would be even funnier. But I'm sure there's people that come to White Elephant, and they're like, well, I'm going to go with the $20 gift, right? You know that person? One time we did White Elephant, the limit was $20, and someone gifted a whole year's worth of a Sam's Club membership with fine china. I'm like, well, did you get the email? That's not $20. But sometimes people can go in there and they expect, well, I got this nice gift, so I deserve a free gift in return. So I'll take a moment here to pause and welcome Stephen Whitehouse. Good to see you, Stephen. Yeah. Let's all welcome Stephen here. Stephen watches us every service from, where are you from?
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. Red Sox fan, right?
Yep, and a Patriots fan.
Oh, no. I heard some sports commentary yesterday that said, the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl, and I laughed so hard. But guess what? It'll probably happen. Oh, good. He's going to be a Bucks fan. Amen. Good job. Good job. All is forgiven. No, I'm just kidding. But so good to have you. He messaged me a little while ago and said he's going to be here. We're glad to have you, Stephen. Thanks for joining us. But sometimes when people give a gift, they almost expect to have one given to them in return. That's not how a gift works. In fact, if you say, I have a gift for you, all you have to do is do these things to earn it. Guys, that's not a gift. That's a reward. Both of them can be great. A gift can be awesome, as a reward can be awesome too, but they're not the same. They're not the same. How many of you get a coupon that says free sandwich? And then in the smallest of print, it says $40 purchase to apply. And you're like, free sandwich, right? You've heard of buy one, get one free. You don't walk up to Publix with those two pizza sauces and say, I'd like both of these, please, for free. No, you got to pay for one. The other one is something that is a reward. It's put on top of it. The salvation that is offered to man is not buy one, get one. It's not there's a limited amount that you have to give before you can get it. Just as Adam's sin was passed onto all by one man's decision, so salvation can be passed unto many because of Jesus Christ. Guys, this is what a gift is. This is what many people who are caught up in the religious practice are missing. They look at eternal life as a reward, as they should if it's based off of works. Look, if you have to earn your way to heaven, then you better earn it. And if you do not have to earn your way to heaven, then why would you be trying to work to get there? But many people have never been brought to this line of thinking. It's just normal. We go to church on Christmas. We go and we partake in Mass, and this is just what we do. And the guy up there, he says what he says, and I sit here, and I have a little bit of contrition, and I feel bad, and then I just go about my year. And I'm trying my best. I'm not as bad as this other person. I'm really trying. What a sad way to end up going to hell. I know that's strong, but let's just set the perspective. A person who dies without believing on Jesus Christ for the payment of their sin dies and goes to hell forever, eternally separated from Him. Look at the next part here. Verse 15, for if through the offense of one many be dead, that's where we are right now, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Just like we have over here, Adam in his transgression, impacting all of mankind, we have Jesus and his offering impacting many, those who will believe. Now, there's a difference here. Sin affects all. Salvation, let me make sure you understand this. Salvation is 100% to those who believe. It is available to all. Everyone can receive it. Not everybody will believe. And that's a heartbreaker. That's something that's very difficult to understand. Because you have a God who's so merciful, who wants to do the most that he can to see people saved. And he has done that. And people still won't believe. Isn't that amazing? And especially this time of year, where people are looking for something to change, especially when we're coming into a new year, and they still won't trust in Christ. They don't even know that they can do that. Look at the next part. Hath abounded unto many, verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, Adam. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. The offering of Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, abounds to many offenses. They're all paid. Now, this will be a little bit of a doozy if you start really thinking about this. Every single sin that's ever been committed up until this point and every single sin in the future has been paid. It's all paid, 100%. Even of the worst kind of person that we can ever think of, their sin is paid. Yet, if people die without putting their trust in Christ, they'll spend an eternity in hell. Because there's only one thing that you and I are missing. It's the righteousness of God. It's that word there. I want you to look at it in verse 16. It's that word, justification. Transgression means a violation, a breaking of a law. And then we have justification, which means to render innocent, to be made righteous, to be declared as righteous. Hold your spot here for just a second. We're going to look at that word condemnation for a moment. In John chapter 3, this is one of the clearest places to understand what is at risk for those who have yet to trust Christ, for those who are just simply born into the world, for all of those people, mankind. Verse 18, chapter 3 of John. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Now you and I can logically take what Jesus is saying here and compare it to what Paul just wrote in Romans and see that this bears out true. Look what it says. He that believeth on him is not condemned. By the offering of one, many are justified. We read it in Romans 1:16 that we believe and we receive. It's there in John chapter 1 as well. Look at the other side of that statement. But he that believeth not is condemned. Mark this, please. Already. How? Because you're born into it. You're born into it. And why? Because he hath, you should mark this, not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's the only requirement. What have you done about Jesus Christ's offering and his resurrection? What have you done about that? There may be many people who simply believe it happened as historical fact. And yes, it did happen. It's probably one of the most documented events in our history. But it's not just belief that it happened. You need to believe that he did it for you. Because you're the one that does not have the righteousness of God. And the moment that you do believe, you're passed from death into life, as Jesus says in John 5:24. So, hold your place, go back to Romans, you can let John go. Look in chapter 5 of Romans in verse 9. We're going to bounce around a little bit in the book of Romans and then go to the book of Galatians for a moment. Chapter 5 in verse 9. Let's look at verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hold this for just a second. Is the phrase, while we were yet sinners, accurate with the two passages we've looked at? Yes. He that believeth not is condemned already. And we see just a couple of verses over in the same chapter of Romans 5 that we're all born into sin. This is an excellent verse to prove that you can come as you are. Dare I say that's the only way that you can come to the Lord. Even you trying to clean yourself up and do the best that you can will not be enough. Because look what Christ did. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now. Okay? Being now. This is a present tense thing. The moment that you believe, much more than being now justified, rendered without guilt, blameless, righteous. By his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. What are we getting saved from? From the wrath of God. Hold your place. Go back to John 3. And I want you to look at the very last verse, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. What does this mean? If, for the sake of an illustration, we just have this little remote here that I used to change the slides. It'll be you and me. And we're walking along through life. We are born into this world. We are under the wrath of God. It abides over us. And if we die in this state, look up here, in this state, I'm not talking about any works of this individual, just the fact that they are a sinner, wrath of God abides among them, above them. If they die in that state, that wrath comes down upon them. So when we're talking about the word salvation, I want to be saved, does water baptism, and I'm asking a question, does water baptism remove you from under that wrath? Does communion remove you from under that wrath? No. Does any kind of good work remove you from underneath that wrath? No. The only thing which will remove you, now look at Romans 5, where we just were, much more than, verse 9, being now justified. Look. Justified. That wrath of God, it can't come down on us. There's nothing to come down on. We've been declared righteous. We've been made righteous. Look what it says. We'll be saved from wrath. Now, how are we saved from that wrath? It says it right here. Through him, referring back to Christ in verse 8. If you want to experience salvation, you want to experience justification, it has nothing to do with emotions or how you feel or your intentions. Boy, that word intentions, you and I know that word. We start off on a project and we intend to do it a certain way. Things happen, things change. You go to the store and the things that you wanted to get, they're not there. So now you got to go and go somewhere else. And all of your intentions can be spoiled. There are so many people intending to do right and they don't. And they're intending to earn their way to heaven and they won't. Hold your place in Romans 5 and go to Romans chapter 3. Just one page to the left. Look in verse 24. Being justified, look at the description of justification here. Freely. Freely. We just saw in Romans 5, it's the free gift. Freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Let's break this down. We're justified. How are we justified? Well, it's done freely by His grace. If you look over there, if you'll just hold your place and look over there at verse 15 in chapter 5 of Romans, it says, and the gift by grace. The gift by grace. We see back here on Romans 3:24, that freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified, declared righteous, by what? Faith. And look how slam dunk, 100% crystal clear this is. Without the deeds of the law. Without them. Without them. You mean to tell me, and this is where people get it, and I'm sure you've had people say this to you and your family. You mean to tell me that you can just trust in Jesus and go out and continue to live a wicked life of, and they go for all the sins, you know? Let's see if we can guess them. First one, you got it in your head, ready? Murder, how, was I right? Yeah. Okay, all right. Second one, fornication, oh, you know these things? Which Jesus says, if you look at a brother and you have hatred in your heart, murderer. Jesus says, if you look upon a woman and you have lust in your heart, guess what? Fornicator. Oh, Jesse, don't say that. It ruins the narrative. I'm sorry. Narrative's a narrative and the truth is the truth. Amen? We need to know the truth. We're all sinners. So you mean to tell me I'm going to go out there and live this life so badly, and I just get to heaven because I trusted in Christ? You got it. It's a very, very crude way to put it, and it's not what God intends us to do after we've trusted in Christ. But guess what? It's either all by His grace or it's by works. Amen. You can't have it either other way. Amen. You can't say, little bit of me, little bit of you, we're going to make this thing happen. Guys, do you know what our works are in the eyes of God? We got a back building back there, and we have this thing called a gymnasium floor. And kids, they run around on that. And Sunday school kids, they'll run around, they'll have food in their hands, and that food will hit the floor. And, you know, we mop it up. Things get mopped up. When we have dinners back there, drinks are spilled, food's on the floor. Boy, kids on Thursday night, they're out there grinding, you know, just like playing and playing sports and just sweating, all that sweat on the floor. I want you to imagine we take all of the mop heads from just this month and we wring them out into the mop bucket and we take the water and we just pour it into the nicest chalice and we get some ice cubes, you know. We want to make sure that it's a good-looking cup. Then we get some ice cubes in there. Maybe we garnish the top and maybe we, ooh, anyone got some Febreze, amen? And we bring it. You bring it to the pastor's office. You bring it to my office. And you say, Jesse, I heard it's your birthday. I have a gift for you. I worked over it. This is the best that I can offer. And you put that chalice on my desk. I'm offended. Right? I look at that and say, what is that? That's not safe for me. Do you intend me to take this? Why do we think that all of our good works, which are described as filthy rags, would be any different than presenting a dirty, mop-watered chalice? We have to be careful that we don't glorify our good works into something that God will actually take and say, this is on the same level as the blood of my son. Go to Galatians chapter 2. All of this is around the same area, so you can let Romans go. It's just a couple of pages. Galatians chapter 2. Oh, Galatians, good books. It's not about a glacier, like I thought when I was a kid. I'm not even kidding you. Like, oh, this is the cold book. No, it's not. About the region, Galatia. No glaciers there. Anyway, Galatians chapter 2, look in verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified, there's that word again, justified by what this time? There's a different descriptor. By the works of the law, but by, and you can even put there grammatically, but justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. This is why Romans 5 describes what has been done through Jesus as a free gift. Because if it was anything that you had to pay for, it can't be called a free gift. Amen. Jesse, we know this. I know that you know this. I know that you know this. But there are many who don't. Dare I say there are some here today who don't. Or there are members in your family who don't. And guys, listen, if life can be over like this, we ought to be about this message. Because this is what gives us eternal life. And we avoid that wrath of God coming down upon us. Look in chapter 3, verse 24 of Galatians. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. What's the purpose of the law? What's the purpose of the Ten Commandments? We all know the Ten Commandments. How many of you guys were raised in church where you went to Sunday school? Raise your hand. That's pretty much everybody. Okay? You know the Ten Commandments. You know what you're supposed to do in relation to God and what you're supposed to do in relation to man. Now, how many have kept those? How many had you already broken before you even knew they existed? Thou shalt not lie. Oh, I was really hoping for that one not to be on there. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Guess what? You struck out twice. What's the purpose of the law? Points you to the Savior who offered it freely. Go back to Romans. We're going to continue through this passage. Romans chapter 5. We're going to pick it up where we left off in verse 17. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, you see the comparison again, there's Adam. Much more, I like that, much more they which receive abundance of, what's it called? Grace and of the gift of righteousness. Here you are, you need a lifeline. You need somebody to offer you what you can never accomplish on your own. And there's the nail-pierced hand of Jesus offering out to you. And we think, here's the illustration, you're hanging off that cliff, you're going to die. Jesus reaches out his hand and you slap a 20 in it. And you don't even grab the hand. Can you imagine? What are you doing? Well, I'm doing my part. You already did your part. You're a sinner. Now, he did what only he can do. And he gave his life and he shed his blood. and his body was bruised. The punishment of our sin was laid upon him. And he offers out his hand, and we think we can pay for it. We think we can put something there which will be enough. It's a free gift. That's not how it works. We receive eternal life by believing on him.
Amen.
That's how it is. And thank God that's how it is. I'm so thankful that I don't have to keep a little running list of all the times I've missed church. You ever been to church but not been at church? You're thinking about that truck bounding over the snowbank? Like, man, I wish my wife would do that for me. Maybe you're thinking about the puppy. I don't know. But you can not be here, but physically be here. Look at the next verse here. Excuse me, we didn't even finish that verse. You like that? And of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, there's that word again, we just looked at that a little while ago, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Condemnation to death, justification of life. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Amen. If you've put your trust in Jesus Christ, you're in that many. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. What does that mean? I want you to think about this for a second. The massive amount of sin. Let's just say every single sin is represented by one penny. Every single sin, a bad thought, a bad action, doing something that you should have done, but you did it incorrectly, you missed the mark. How many, I don't even know a word to describe, quintillions of pennies would there be? Oh, and it's all just a penny. You can pay it off with another penny. You have a lot of pennies on your hands. But by one person, all that's gone. By Jesus Christ and the grace that was given to us through him, it's all taken care of. Oh, but sin abounds. Grace abounds much more. Whatever the stack of sin is, grace is always higher. It's got to be that way. Now, some people like to look at that and say, oh, well, this is a license to sin. Look in chapter 6. Just if we forget the chapter divisions and we know this is a letter that was written, what does it say in chapter 6? Ha-ha, I knew what you were thinking, says Paul. No, that's me. That's my commentary adding that in there. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Oh, gotcha. Yeah, well, you're saying that whatever amount of sin there is, there's always going to be grace. And that must mean that, are you saying you can just sin because there's always grace to cover it? You know what kind of people think that way? People that actually do that. People that actually do that think that way. You mean you, not me. Yeah. But what does it say in verse 2? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We just saw up there in verse 20 that where sin is abounding, grace abounds more. But the question that's asked in chapter 6 is, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? This is the license to sin. This is the accusation. This is why I laugh when people on message boards go, I got them! No one's had this question except the Bible. Well, we don't read that. I know. I know. But it's there. Look at the end of chapter 5 in verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, sin reigned unto death. Yes, the wages of sin is death. But the grace that is available to every single person, when that grace is acted on through faith, by belief, through righteousness, unto eternal life, that's the end result. Sin, death. Grace, life. Look in chapter 6. At the end of Romans chapter 6, you see verse 23. We all know this verse. For the wages of sin is death, and we know that. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, there's that word again, gift. The gift, the something that is voluntarily transferred from one person to another without compensation, that of God is eternal life through what? Who? Jesus Christ our Lord. Not through good works, not through good intentions. We're going to close in Ephesians chapter 2. Probably one of the best places where the word gift is used. Ephesians chapter 2. You thought we were going to go to 8 and 9. We will. We're going to start in verse 1, though, because it sets it up really nicely. Verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Whoa, 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 whoa. What? Yeah. This is how you're viewed, those of you who have put your trust in Jesus Christ. Let's read that again. And hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not only are you saved, you're also already seated. You're already seated. Colossians tells us we're already translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Isn't it kind of mind-boggling to think for a moment? I don't want you to dwell here too long because we'll probably lose you. That your life is already done. Your race is run. God is not looking down and saying, I didn't mean to put her here during COVID. No! It's not what I planned. No, this is exactly what he has already seen. And isn't it great to know that when you put your trust in Christ, you got a seat at the table and you're already there? Well, I like that. I like that. You got dinner reservations with your husband or your wife, and you're at a busy restaurant, you need a reservation, right? You want to make sure when you walk in there, there's a table waiting for you. You're going to go to the ball game and you get tickets last minute, and you're going to order them at will call. You show your driver's license, you're going to get in. Those tickets are waiting for you. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 14. You want to talk about will call tickets? You want to talk about reservations? Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Well, that's what it means. When you believed, you're sealed. And you're sealed until... Oh, we should have our nails bitten down here. We are waiting. Until what? Until what? What's it say? Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption. Well, how do I get redeemed? You die. Or you get raptured. Now, I'm leaning towards that one. Okay? I want that one. I was already practicing a little bit. You know? Right? At this pace, every time you turn on the TV, you're like... If you watch CNN, you're like... No, I'm just kidding. Uh-oh, I'm going to get a letter about that one. No, I'm just kidding. Either way, guess what? You're already there. Isn't that the biggest exhale? That's all taken care of. Now what do we need to do? We need to turn our eyes on those who have yet to trust.
Amen.
Look at what it says in chapter 2 of Ephesians. Verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Well, what's the purpose of it all? Well, right there in verse 7. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What is salvation?
Amen.
Salvation's the gift. Salvation's the gift. It's not a truck. It's not a puppy. It's not a coupon. It's not buy one, get one. It's he paid it all, and you just simply have to believe it for yourself. Well, I believe it happened historically, but I don't know if he did it for me. Then you're in trouble, because the wrath of God abides over you. Hank Lindstrom would say to people that did not trust Christ, all right, don't die. I can't believe he said that. What? He said literally the worst thing that could happen to you? Death is the best thing that could happen to me. Why? Because I finally get to sit down in that seat. Get to be there.
Amen.
We're all looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Why'd you read verse 10, Jesse? That's the verse that ruins it all. No, it doesn't. You and I are now his workmanship, and there are opportunities that God has set before us. He's ordained for them, and we should walk in them. That's the purpose of this holiday season. Yes, the Christmas songs are playing. You know, I was writing out the lyrics of these songs, and I'm like, I hope they know. I only know about 6 of these. So we're going to hear some repeats. It's more than just singing Christmas songs, you know. It's more than just wrapping gifts and surprising people and, yes, and seeing family, all that. This is an opportunity to get people in front of the gift of God. And it's a free gift. And it's available to anybody. You want to talk about terms and conditions apply? You can close your Bibles. What are the terms and conditions? Well, sir, are you a sinner? No. Well, sir, may I speak with your wife? No. You may not. I've learned now, before I give the wallet illustration, to check this wallet. Some sort of surprise is going to pop out of here every time. I first saw this when I was coming here, and I was sitting right over where Carolyn is on a Wednesday night, and I was impressed. And I've since adopted using this illustration because it's just so clear. But the reason why I ask you to close your Bibles is because I want to make sure that I have your attention. And I know. I was talking to somebody one time, they're like, you know, would you still give the gospel even though, you know, you see a bunch of people that have already trusted Christ? I know this mic is not on, and that's fine. But yes. Yes. Would you believe me if I told you about 3 weeks ago, an individual who has been coming to church here for a long, long time finally trusted Christ?
Amen.
Yeah. This is nothing about that decision, but there were just questions that needed to be answered. And we walked into my office. Me and that couple walked into my office, and they sat in those chairs. And I opened up my Bible, gave the plan of salvation, answered the questions that needed to be answered. And you know what she said? I think I'm ready. Yes! You. I told, I think it was the day of the baby shower. I walked out of the office, walked down the hall. Excuse me, I didn't walk down the hall. I floated. Bust those doors open. Michael Brown's walking back from the birthday or from the baby shower that he got kicked out of. He's walking back. He's like, "What's up?" I said, "It's all up." I said, "Isn't this great what just happened?" And we praised God together. And let me tell you, there's no TV crew here. There's no live streaming crew in my office. There's no multi-million dollar production. I don't sell any books. I don't have any merch for you to buy. There's no swag. Guess what? It's just the gospel message. And that little side road back there, between the side door and a dumpster, there was a moment of eternal joy in knowing someone's going to heaven today. They know now. We rejoice. That's why we give the gospel in every service. And if you're saying, you know what? I want to learn that. Learn it. It's a great way to introduce somebody to salvation. This hand represents you and me. My wallet will represent sin. I'm going to put this on top of my hand because the Bible very clearly says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We talked about that at length today. God, he loves us, but he hates our sin because our sin separates us from him. In order to get to heaven, you have to be perfect. Did you hear what I just said? Perfect. I talked to a lady several weeks ago. God bless her. She is sending her pastor and their deacons to my office at some point, and I can't wait. I can't wait. And I say that with all sincerity because all I need is this. That's all we need.
Amen.
But she looked at me. She didn't look at me. She talked to me on the phone and said, I committed no sin today. Guys, this is where people are right now. You have to be perfect without any sin. We're not. We've all fallen short. The wages of sin is death. It's not good works. If my notes here represent all the good works that we could ever do, this will never happen. Watch this. All right. Thank you for your payment. Here's your receipt. The righteousness of God. It's not how it works. A death payment is required. We just saw in Ephesians 2:8-9, not of works, but lest any man should boast. This hand represents Jesus Christ, and I mean that just for the illustration. Fully God, fully man. He had no sin. Isn't it remarkable that he grew up sinless, and yet his brothers and sisters still said, this guy? Were you not paying attention? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The moment that a person believes that what Jesus Christ did on the cross was for them, and they believe on his death, burial, and resurrection, listen, they receive the free gift of everlasting life. Zero membership, zero prove it, zero you're going to lose it if you do this one more time. It's eternal. And they receive it right there, and it lasts forever and ever 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 and ever. Even that little illustration, if I took it to its extreme, I'm going to stop at some point. Eternity is forever. Salvation is forever. Oh, but I don't want to offend. Then don't offend. But don't withhold. I would rather someone choose to be offended at the gospel than for my mouth to stay shut. I don't want to take that risk. I don't know if you saw about the plumber who was doing plumbing work at Joel Osteen's church. Did you guys see that? Oh, found it, right? Fixing a urinal or something like that. Insulation behind this wall. Digging in the insulation. Full of cash. I think Joel Osteen's hair gel was in there too. It was like, oh, we found it. You go to Joel Osteen's church, and I mean this, no offense to Joel Osteen. I want him to put his trust in Christ. I hope he has, but he doesn't preach the gospel. You know the average attendance at their church? I think I heard this yesterday. About 40-something thousand people. Boy, wouldn't it be great if we had a $40,000 seating problem? Jesse, there's 40,000 people here. Okay, let's go outside. Probably won't be wearing this coat for long. This is the best news in all the world. I hope that because of the work of this ministry and because of the work of the Lord, many people will hear it. We're going to have prayer and then we're going to do communion. I want to encourage you to prepare for communion. But before we do that, I want to give an invitation. For those of you who have yet to trust Christ, wouldn't you do that right now? Would you join me in prayer as we bow our heads and close our eyes, no one looking around? If you're here today and you've yet to put your trust in Christ, I want to encourage you to do so right now. I'm not going to ask you to come forward or to pray a prayer. I'm just going to ask that if it makes sense to you, why don't you just believe on Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection right now for the payment of your sin? The moment that you do that, my friend, you're saved.